You know, I want to apologize to all the listeners of The End Zone, but after seeing the New England Patriots win the Super Bowl, of course, you heard our huge, spectacular, overwhelming Super Bowl special. But
was that really the last one we did?
I think it was the last one we did.
Gone.
We might have done one. No, I think that was the last one we did. Season wrap up Super Bowl special. That huge, just massive thing we did.
That was that really, really long episode.
Like 4 hours. That was just ridiculous. But Kevin and I were both so disgusted with the New England Patriots being the champs again. And we had to hear all about it all summer from people like the Super Swede and Kat. And then, God, the Patriots fans are just unreasonable. I don't want to hear it anymore. It's over. Our Lord and Savior Patrick Mahomes is here now. Oh, wait, sorry, Kevin. Yeah, that's right. You didn't get the memo. This is now the Patrick Mahomes podcast.
Yeah, nice try there, Chiefy boy. Yeah, nice try.
Nope, The End Zone is back. Yeah, we thought we were going to have some draft episodes, some free agency episodes, but, you know, life happened. Kevin decided he needed to go back to California and be closer to his Raiders for one last time before they move out to Vegas. I don't know, you know. I'm assuming he's had all the shots before he goes to the Oakland Coliseum. I'm just saying that. We know what it's like there, but Kevin, I know we might be a little rusty on our NFL knowledge, but it's time to knock it off because training camps are opening. We're recording this Wednesday night, July 31st, and tomorrow, August 1st, our first official NFL game of this preseason is here with the Hall of Fame game. And you know what? Fantasy football.
Who's playing in that again?
Well, I believe
it's not the Raiders. I don't care, but who is it?
Hold on, because
you have to look it up, too.
I believe it's the Bears, but oh, no, it's the Denver Broncos versus the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, my God.
So we actually get to see some of the AFC West competition right out of the bat.
All right. So that's going to be all the draft picks and the scrubs. Okay.
Yep. Well, hey, in this case, though, Denver did draft Drew Locke, so that could be interesting to see.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but anyway, The End Zone is here. It's time for the 2019 season. So before we even get started, let's take care of a little business. Of course, not only where you can find The End Zone, but all the great shows of the Fandom Podcast Network. And it starts at our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. You all can also find us on your mobile devices using the Podbean app. Search for the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, you can also search for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or Spotify. Of course, on Facebook, visit the Fandom Podcast Network page. You can email us directly at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. On Instagram, you can follow us at Fandom Podcast Network. On Twitter, you can find us at Fan Pod Network. On Twitter, you can find me, Kyle, at Patrick Mahomes is a God or A Kyle W. On Instagram, it's A Kyle Fandom. Kevin, who finally is landing from his hot air balloon ride to into training camp.
Yeah, buddy.
Where can we find you on Twitter and social media?
Oh, well, you can find me, of course, on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
I have a question for you on that balloon ride. Did you notice there wasn't actually any furnace to heat the air? It was all Antonio Brown speaking.
Hey, man, do whatever it takes. You know, it saves energy, right? So, yeah.
A lot of hot air. But, of course, you can also visit TeePublic and search for the Fandom Podcast Network and, of course, find all the great gear, including now the End Zone gear on the Fandom Podcast Network site on TeePublic. TeePublic.com. Search for the Fandom Podcast Network.
I need to get one of those. Yeah. I have one for all the other shows. I need to get one of those.
So do I. So, of course, when we love feedback, especially on Apple Podcasts /iTunes, go there, leave us a 5-star review. You know, if you think it's a little less, then you're probably a Raider fan, and I'm just... Yeah, I'm
wow, he's taking the shots right out of the gate. Wow.
Well, they've been building up all summer because I've tried to be nice to you with your move and everything. So, you know, if Murph were here, it'd be 10 times worse.
Yeah, you know what? I tell you, man, the Raiders have been pretty good, but your Chiefs, not so much.
I wouldn't go that far. You know, last I checked, everybody was coming back, and the defense is going to be. I think the defense is going to be much improved with some new players and a new scheme, but we'll talk about that here in a little bit because, Kevin, we've got a lot to cover. It's been a heck of an offseason. Obviously, we haven't had a draft episode or a free agency episode, so we can talk a little bit about that. But we're here. It's 2019 for all the teams except maybe the Cincinnati Bengals. It's a new season of hope.
God, yeah.
AJ Green hurt already, but hey, you know what? So let's take a look real quick before we start talking about what's going on in training camps and such. Let's take a look at some of the top offseason storylines. And Kevin, I think without a doubt, the Cleveland Browns were the talk of the offseason.
Well, yeah, I mean, you when you trade for you know, one of the top two best receivers, that's going to make some news, and then you're going to pick up a criminal from over there in Missouri. Yeah, you're going to do that as well, and get a new coach.
Yeah, I also bring in a veteran pass rusher and Olivier Vernon. I'm making some very smart draft picks. Greedy Williams, their first over. Actually, he was a second round pick, but he was their first pick in the draft. Looks like he's going to be.
How cool is that name? Yeah. Greedy Williams,
especially for a cornerback.
I know. There's a lot of Raider fans that were hoping to grab that guy.
Yeah. So Cleveland made some huge. A new head coach in Freddie Kitchens. Anything's got to be an. You and I would have been an improvement over Hugh Jackman, Kevin.
Yeah.
Jackson. I mean, yeah. And I know Jackson, you experienced him with some as a Raiders fan for a while. There, but I think
he had a little bit of a flash in the pan and a couple things, but you know, watching that Hard Knocks last year, I mean, there were some interesting stories there, but I don't know what it is with him, man.
Yeah. And of course, in the NFL draft, I think one of the biggest stories coming out of that was Kyler Murray, the Oklahoma quarterback, going number one overall to the Arizona Cardinals.
Was that really a big surprise, though?
I mean, I think when you look at it, this is the effect of like a Russell Wilson and what Baker Mayfield did last year. Kyler's a little bit of a smaller quarterback, but it's kind of showing that these quarterbacks, if they have the talent and you give them a chance, can play. I'm a little questionable of their new coach and what he might actually bring to the table. But I like him.
Isn't he like 19 years old or something like that?
Yeah.
Isn't he young?
he's young, but... But you know what? There's a lot of good players in this draft. I think there's some people who are going to really contribute this year. But I don't think there's going to be any like just huge standout superstars that come out of this draft. I think you're going to have a few guys who are going to definitely really contribute. But I don't know if I see any superstars like a Saquon Barkley was last year coming right out of the gate.
Yeah, I think we're going to be kind of surprised by that. You know, I mean. It's one of those things where it depends on how well the team around them do. But I see what you're saying. I'm kind of feeling that. You know, obviously we all have our own draft picks, our own teams that we love, and we love to see them break out. But it's really hard to say right now. Is Kyler Murray starting?
Oh, yeah. He is the starter for the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay. So. What happened to that other guy?
Josh Rosen. He's a Miami Dolphin now. we'll talk about that, but let's talk about our individual teams draft classes, because I'm gonna start with your Raiders, because they were a very busy team at the draft in the first couple of days this year.
You know, it was really exciting, obviously, going into that, because Raiders got a lot of crap for the stuff that they gave up for the picks, getting rid of Mac, of course, and then stuff. But with Mike Mayock and Gruden and everyone else there in the think tank, I really think they did a good job getting what we needed. But the best thing about it, though, was a lot of the subterfuge of talking about other players that were very popular, even Kyler Murray, thinking, you know, kind of saying, you know, yeah, maybe we'll be looking at him. Maybe we'll do that. Keeping attention away of what they really wanted. That's what they were doing. And I loved it. And just like a lot of other people, we were like, okay, who's going to be number one? Who's going to be number one? Cleveland Farrell? What?
Yeah. And I'm going to be honest with you,
but
I like Farrell.
Hold on. Uh-huh. Hold on. After doing some research and listening and watching, this guy from the championship Clemson team is also a leader. He also has a military background. Looking at his stats, I see why they wanted this guy. What was your take?
Okay. I do like Cleveland Farrell. I think he was a little bit of a reach at the number four pick. I think you could have probably got him a little later in the first round, maybe made a trade back, amassed a couple more picks along that line. I saw a lot of Clemson games down here because they played a lot. They obviously play in the ACC, but they also play a lot of SEC teams. The thing with Clemson, and I, I'm not knocking Clelin Ferrell here at all, but all four of their guys were really good defensive linemen. So they all kind of benefited off of each other. I hope he does well. He's a class act. I will give you that. He is definitely.
They got him for his leadership and obviously for his play. Yeah. And I see that's what they wanted. They wanted some leadership there.
Yeah.
And I can definitely see why. Now, of course, just like you said, other people said, well, you could have gotten a little bit later. I'm like, well, apparently other people were targeting him later in the draft,
yeah,
later in the first round.
And
and so they wanted to make sure that they got him.
I think there's a couple other defensive ends that I had, on my personal opinion, ranked a little higher than Clelin. But again,
oh yeah, there's a lot of people that people did, but you know, they wanted their guy and they got him.
I'll tell you the guy of your draft who I actually really like, and I hope he sticks with the team. And even if he doesn't, I hope some NFL team gets a chance. It was your fifth round pick, Hunter Renfrow, the wide receiver from Clemson.
Oh man, seeing him recently, he was mic'd up on training camp, and man, I'm getting excited for this guy. This guy, ooh. Yeah, I think he's going to be sneaky. I think he's going to be able to give us that kind of the inside route guy.
Yeah,
he's going to pick up the. He's probably going to get hit a few times, but he's going to pick up them first downs, and then but I think my favorite pick though is Josh Jacobs, the running back from Alabama, and getting him at 24.
Yeah,
I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, that was
Jonathan Abram too. Yeah.
Josh Jacobs was pretty much, that's where most everybody had him slotted. And I think he is your most important draft pick this season, even more than Clelin Ferrell. I think he has got to produce out of the gate for you guys.
He has a chance to be a starter. He really does, you know, and especially after a couple little, you know, we got rid of a guy that we had hopes for last year, but apparently he wasn't working out and not being a decent back. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens in that backfield,
especially with no beast mode this year. So,
mm-hmm.
But you know what? Let's flip the coin. Cause let's talk about my team, the Kansas City Chiefs, and their draft picks. Now you have, and with their draft, you also have to consider they traded their number one overall pick to acquire defensive end Frank Clark from the Seattle Seahawks, which I absolutely love that trade because their first round pick was down in the lower end of the draft. Frank Clark is entering his prime right now. He's 26 years old, and this guy is a stud defensive end. I think that was a great move there. We made a trade up in the second round, though, to get wide receiver Mecole Hardman from Georgia. Couple of reasons why they made that trade. At the time, they did not know what the status was of Tyreek Hill, and of course that has been cleared up as he will not be suspended by the league. I'll address that in a little bit, but I really like Mecole Hardman. He's almost a clone of Tyreek Hill coming out of the when Tyreek Hill came out of the draft. Fast. I think he's a little bit better receiver than Tyreek Hill was as a rookie. I think he's a great addition. But the two I'm really excited about are safety Juan Thornhill, who is one of the best athletes in the draft, and I think he could be a starter instantly on our defense. But the one I absolutely love is defensive tackle Kalen Saunders. When he got drafted by Kansas City, they were showing footage of him, and this is a big 300-pound defensive tackle who can do a backflip, Kevin. So I am very
like Ozzie Smith backflipping.
You know, basically, yeah, it was pretty impressive. So I like what the Chiefs did in the draft. I think they added some players who are definitely going to be contributors. They focused mainly on defenses, which were where they needed to go. And I think Hardman, you put him now with Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce. He can run the slot. He's going to take some of the kick return responsibilities off of Tyreek Hill. He could put up some interesting numbers in the Kansas City Chiefs offense because you know Andy Reid will find a way to use him. So very excited about the possibilities there. But you know what? We also had free agency, Kevin, and there were players going all over the place. And I was going to maybe do a quick rundown here, highlight somebody on each team that was either a free agent or re-signing that could be somewhat interesting. So I will kind of go down the list, Kevin, and if you see somebody I don't mention, grab it up. Otherwise, throw in your thoughts. I think the big one for Arizona was obviously bringing in veteran Terrell Suggs as he makes the move from Baltimore. There's probably not much left in the tank there, but he's a good veteran presence for Arizona on their defense. With the Atlanta Falcons, they were pretty quiet, but they did sign Jamon Brown. They needed some help on the offensive line. I think that was a very good pickup. Baltimore, I think the big one, two big ones there. Mark Ingram from the Saints and Earl Thomas from the Seahawks, Kevin.
Yeah, those are good moves for that team. I was surprised about the Mark Ingram one.
Yeah, I was a little surprised, but I think he was going to get more of a chance in Baltimore than he was going to end up having with New Orleans. The Buffalo Bills, I can't quite figure out what they did there because they brought in Frank Gore and TJ Yeldon. Of course, they already have LeSean McCoy. They also brought in former Chiefs center Mitch Morse. I can't quite figure out what Buffalo's doing there. So
yeah, but, well, next to Buffalo there, we got the New York Jets here. They made a splash, but is it a good splash?
Yeah, that's a good question.
First, Le'Veon Bell is the big news. Yeah. He got his $52 million contract, 25 guaranteed. Chandler Catanzaro signed a multi-tier.
Catanzaro,
the kicker. But you got Jameson Crowder, Ty Montgomery, C.J. Mosley, Kelechi Osemele from the Raiders got traded over there. Trevor Siemian.
Interesting one for the Carolina Panthers is they signed Bucks cast off Gerald McCoy. That's going to be an interesting development there. Couple other teams of note. We talked about Cleveland and everything they did. Dallas Cowboys, a couple of older side receivers, but we've known for a long time. Of course, Randall Cobb finally leaving Green Bay and going to Dallas. And of course, pulling back from the Monday night booth, Jason Witten, Kevin.
Yes. Jason Witten. It's going to be interesting though. There's like three players on that team that want contracts. You know, you got your quarterback, Dak, you know, and you got Zeke, and there's that Cooper guy.
Yeah, well, I think it starts. Zeke's got like 2 years left on his deal. Both Dak and Cooper are going into the final year of their deals. I think Dak's going to get paid first. The quarterback.
So.
Over in the AFC West, the Denver Broncos brought in a new quarterback. Joe throw it up for pass interference calls, Flacco.
Flacco. How long is that for?
I think it was for whatever the remainder of his contract was because they got him in a trade.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I'm thinking, and maybe it was like at least another 2 years, I think.
Yeah, I think it was 2 years, and of course the Broncos also drafted Missouri quarterback Drew Locke as possibly a quarterback of the future. The Rams had a couple interesting signings in Eric on their defensive side, and Eric Weddle and Clay Matthews, and Blake Bortles. Relegated to NFL backup now, because he will be Jared Goff's backup on a one-year, $1 million deal. The Miami Dolphins are bringing in and hoping to catch a little Fitzmagic, Kevin.
Yeah. The Steelers, Dante Moncrief, yay.
Yeah.
Two-year deal there. Eli Rogers got a two-year deal there. Linebacker Mark Barron got a 2 year. Yeah, I don't know what they're trying to do.
Okay, let me ask you this, Kevin, real quick, just while we're talking about the Steelers, because is this for the Steelers more addition by subtraction than getting rid of two players who obviously didn't want to be there anymore and were causing major distractions in Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell?
I guess, but man, they were good players. I don't see the Steelers competing well into the playoffs. I think they're going to be lucky to get a playoff berth this year.
Yeah, and we're going to address that when we do our picks here a little later in preseason, which we'll probably do after about the second or third week. But we have a lot of new coaches this year too, Kevin. We've got the 12-year-old Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona.
I like how he keeps getting younger on this show.
Here's the thing about Cliff Kingsbury. He went from being fired at Texas.
Say his name five times fast.
Cliff Kingsbury, Cliff Kingsbury, Cliff Kingsbury, Cliff Kingsbury, Cliff Kingsbury.
All right, you got it.
And just for you, Kevin, Worcestershire sauce.
You messed it up. Well played, sir.
Cliff Kingsbury went from being fired by Texas Tech to being hired to be the USC offensive coordinator to being the Arizona Cardinals head coach within that same 6 month span.
Wow.
Yeah. Whoa.
I bet hopefully he stayed unpacked the whole time. Yeah.
The Bengals hired former Rams quarterback coach, pulling from that Sean McVay tree already, Zach Taylor. I'm not real high on that. I like what Cleveland did, though, bringing in interim offensive coordinator Freddie Kitchens. I think this is a good move by Cleveland. The players seem to really respond to Kitchens during the season. After all the Hugh Jackman mess and all that, they really seem to do very well with Freddie Kitchens. The Denver Broncos brought in Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio. If nothing else, I will tell you this. Denver will be playing some defense this year.
Vic Fangio?
Yeah.
Is that how you say his name? So he is the coach. Yeah. Okay.
The Packers brought in former Titans offense coordinator Matt LaFleur. I think that was just something where Green Bay Packers had tuned out McCarthy and it was time for a change. Dolphins bring in former Patriot defensive coordinator Brian Flores. I feel sorry for him because he might be coaching the worst team in the league. The Jets hire former Dolphins head coach Adam Gase. I actually like this hire. I think Gase is an underrated coach that just never got the right kind of talent he needed in Miami, but he actually got a couple solid seasons out of Ryan Tannehill. I'd like to see what he's going to do with Sam Darnold, a quarterback who actually has some talent. And of course, in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, hired former head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, Bruce Arians. This guy's a really good coach, Kevin. He got the Cardinals to the Super Bowl.
I like Bruce. I like his style. I like his demeanor. I remember I was watching, Football Life with, oh God, I'm sorry. What's his name that won a Super Bowl with the Rams and got close with
Kurt Warner
with the Tampa. Yeah, Kurt Warner. Sorry. And seeing Bruce Arians being interviewed about that was a really good one too. Yeah, I like him. Yeah. That'll be interesting.
And of course, the NFL can't leave things alone. And they've every season they've got to mess with rule changes. So after the end of last season, we knew some rule changes were coming to pass interference, I think, Kevin.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Let's go over a few of the rule changes. They have made permanent the experimental kickoff rules from the 2018 season. They have abolished all blindside blocks anywhere on the field. It's an automatic personal foul of 15 yards. And here's the one that everybody was waiting for. Allow as a one-year experiment to make the following plays reviewable, subject to coaches' challenge outside of the final 2 minutes of each half and subject to booth review after the two-minute warning of each half. Pass interference, whether called or not. Scoring plays and turnovers negated by penalties. Any extra point or two-point conversion attempt. I think these are the biggies, Kevin, these replay rules. I have a couple issues with this. Pass interference, whether called or not, here's where I'm wondering what's going to start happening with this. Is, to me, this should be a replay official's decision, kind of what the AAF did, where they had a replay official who made that call. Because are you going to...
Hold on, this is the AAF that lasted 3 months,
yeah, but this
right?
was one of the better things they had going for
them. Yes.
This is where you're walking a thin rope. Let's say there's pass interference away from where the actual play happened. Like, oh, on the other side of the field, there was pass interference. And a coach asked for that to be challenged. This could be a steep slope. I think they're going to end up modifying this rule of calling it.
Hey, it's not pass interference unless it's passed in the direction, right?
Not necessarily. I've seen them call pass interference away from the ball.
Well, if they want to waste a coach's challenge on that, you know, that comes into gameplay there.
To me, it should be you can review it.
I don't see a coach calling that if the ball isn't thrown in that direction. Only if there's like a penalty, a hard penalty, like a hit, you know, something like that. But a pass interference being called where it's not thrown anywhere, who's going to call that and you waste a pass on that? I mean, hopefully they get a, I don't know. I'm just. don't know. Yeah, I see your point.
I think it should be they can challenge it if the ball was part of the play.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I think that's should be rectified. I also do like the scoring play and turnovers negated by penalties. Automatic review.
Explain that a little bit.
Basically, if there's a scoring play or a turnover and it's negated by a penalty, they'll review. It's an automatic review of the penalty to make sure it was an actual penalty, not just.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's a good thing. There's a few others involving personal fouls, players coming on the field to celebrate, things like that. Nothing too extreme, but the big one is the instant replay, and I think that's going to be a bugaboo, especially early in the season until they kind of get it figured out.
Well, obviously, they're going to be working on these during the preseason.
Yeah, but I still think it'll come up a few times in the regular season as well. But
individuals not in uniform who enter the field to celebrate a touchdown, turnover, etc. will draw an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, 15 yards automatic first down if on the defensive team.
This comes from that Buffalo game last year where a couple of the Buffalo players who were just on the sidelines got involved in an altercation.
This is interesting. Allow officials to disqualify players for flagrant football, in quotation marks, plays in addition to, in quotation marks, non-football plays.
I think this goes upon like belligerent hits or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're giving the officials a lot of power. This is going to be very interesting. But you know what, Kevin? The season has begun. Training camps are going, and tomorrow is the first game of the preseason, the Hall of Fame game, which is, of course, the time to honor the inductees of this year's Pro Football Hall of Fame. And we've got an interesting group this year. A couple of cornerbacks. We've got Champ Bailey, who I think is very much deserving of being in the Hall of Fame, and cornerback Ty Law, as well as Ed Reed from the Baltimore Ravens. I think defensive secondary, those guys were definitely generational players for the time they played.
I'm sorry. There's just so many players that aren't in the Hall of Fame that deserve to be with the creds that they have. But I can't deny those guys.
Yeah. And I'll get to that log jam here in a minute, cause there's an interesting note about next year's Hall of Fame with it being the 100th anniversary of the NFL. Also contributing, Broncos owner Pat Bowlen, who's been a great ambassador for the league. He passed away way over the summer. Gil Brandt, very good transfer. Tight end Tony Gonzalez. You know my feelings there, Kevin, but I think anybody can say Tony Gonzalez was the one who truly changed the tight end position in the NFL.
I would agree with that. He deserves it.
Safety Johnny Robinson, who is from the Veterans Committee as well. You talk about the logjam, and there is a logjam of players, and I think the NFL knows that next year being with the 100th anniversary this year, and there is talk of next year's announced Hall of Fame class for the 100th anniversary consisting of 20 people going into the Hall of Fame.
Just for that year?
Just for this year, because it's the 100th anniversary. When they announced the Hall of Fame class at the Super Bowl, that there is talk that they might expand it for this one year only to 20 people.
Hmm.
I think that would be a good idea. There's a lot of guys that are getting kind of tied up and held up because I think
the 100th anniversary should honor 20 people that let's make this the senior pick. Let's put in all the old guys that deserve to be there that have not picked yet.
Yeah,
and let's stop giving it to these guys who just became eligible 5 years later and making them automatic shoo-ins. They can wait another year or two. Let's go back and honor our alumni from the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. These guys that are getting old and getting ready to die off, because a lot of these guys are dying off, earlier than expected. That's my personal feeling, because there's so many that are being overlooked.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, but it's going to be very interesting to see what they do to decide on that. Now, we're going to take a quick break to let you know what else is going on around the Fandom Podcast Network. And then Kevin and I are going to come back and talk about both the Chiefs and the Raiders, because they have something very interesting happening this season as they're both looking at NFL curses and they're staring them straight down. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. For you Highlander fans, we've got Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we cover all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater is for you movie buffs, our podcast celebrating the cult classics and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. We also have End Zone for you NFL fans, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with hosts Tom, Brandon, and Chris discussing the master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. And for you Star Trek Discovery and Orville fans, we have Discoville, talking about everything Discovery and the Orville. And for you hard rock music fans, we have the Hair Metal Podcast. The Hair Metal Podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And we also have Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, where we discuss all things Doctor Who, both past and present. And our newest podcast, Lethal Mullet, our podcast celebrating action movies from the 1980s with your host, Adam P. O'Brien. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, and now on Spotify. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network, on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, and also on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at FandomPodcastNetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
Well, I hope you're enjoying everything that we're doing around here on the Fandom Podcast Network. We're trying to feed your ears with podcasts you'll love. But Kevin, you know, we are biased around here. We don't try to hide it. You're a Raiders fan. I'm a Chiefs fan. But both of our teams are doing something this year which has not tended to end up being good for teams. And in your case, your Raiders were selected to be the team for Hard Knocks. And there's not a real good history for the teams that have been on Hard Knocks for that season that they're in. Hard Knocks, I believe, starts for the Raiders August 9th. Is that correct, Kevin?
Yes. Yes.
So your Raiders are looking at the Hard Knocks curse. And, of course, last year's team was the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland had a rough year last year. I think they found a few young stud players, but they had a rough year, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, though. The Raiders have been under that Hard Knocks microscope for a while now. And, you know, it's so funny. I get so tired of the excuse, like, I hate Hard Knocks. I don't want the Raiders on Hard Knocks. This is coming from Raider fans, of course, because it's a distraction. No, it's not a distraction. What's interesting is that I love the fact that they're doing it this year and not doing it next year. Last year in Oakland, high-profile draft picks and high-profile free agents and trades. You get Mike Mayock, first-year general manager, second year with Gruden. There's just so many great stories. And plus, Mike Mayock was just recently visiting the new stadium there in Las Vegas, which I'm sure is going to be on Hard Knocks. It was great because he had that little like construction vest on, you know, it's yellow, and he had his name on the back. He was wearing Raider stuff. It's pretty cool. But I got to see some really cool video of inside that new stadium. I'm fine with it, and I personally don't see it as a curse. Because they're still rebuilding. I don't expect them to go into the playoffs this year, but I expect them to be better than last year, 4-12. Come on. They got to have a few more wins than four, right? I'd bet some money on that. So for me and the Raiders doing this, I'm fine with it. Plus, I just get to see more Raiders.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, your guy, cover of Madden,
yeah, well, don't underestimate the power of our football savior, Patrick Mahomes. So, yes, Patrick Mahomes is the cover boy for Madden this year. But you know what? The Madden curse has kind of lost a little power over the last couple of years. Last year's cover man was Antonio Brown. He had a great season statistically. There was a little weirdness at the end of the season, but I don't think that's really the
Madden. A lot of Steelers fans will call that a curse. Yeah.
The 2018 Madden cover boy, Tom Brady. Yeah, no. I think he had a very nice season. So the Madden curse is there, but I have confidence in Patrick Mahomes' ability to overcome. I'm going in for all my love of Patrick Mahomes, because I do think he is something special at the quarterback position. I realize the chances of him putting up the kind of numbers he put up last year aren't high. I mean, that was a very special season he had last year, but I do think he has established himself as one of the elite quarterbacks in the league.
I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. You know, our friend Murph over there at Radio Friends Radio, mm-hmm. he was actually at the NFL draft there in Nashville.
Yes.
He said every Chiefs fan that was there was wearing a Patrick Mahomes jersey. What do you have to say about that?
I think it's a combination of a couple of things here. So realistically, it's been a very long time since the Chiefs have had a franchise quarterback they could get behind. Chiefs fans have had that. But realistically, it's been since Len Dawson. We for so many years, it was always a cast off, somebody who was maybe towards the end of his career or a career backup, mm-hmm. and they were taking a chance on it. Even the Joe Montana years. Joe Montana was great when he was with Kansas City for those two seasons, but he was at the end of his career. It's been a long time since the Chiefs have somebody they drafted and developed and put in this position.
Okay. Other point?
Other point, though, is the NFL is clearly looking at Patrick Mahomes and is looking to make him a face of the league. And I think there is a lot of people who jumped on the bandwagon during the season last year, seeing him put up the numbers he did, fantasy football fans putting up the numbers he did. Every interview I've seen with Patrick Mahomes in the offseason, and Kevin, you even said this too, the guy is humble. The guy is putting in the work. I am not worried about as far as Patrick Mahomes getting an ego or anything like that. He put in the work off season. He did his other things, but he still put in.
Do you remember
work.
Christian Okoye?
Oh, yes. I love Christian Okoye.
I saw a fan in Georgia wearing a Christian Okoye jersey around the time of the draft. And I actually went up to him, and I was wearing Raider gear, and I said, dude, I completely respect you for what you're wearing, and you're not wearing a Patrick Mahomes jersey. He's like, oh, no, yeah, Patrick Mahomes needs to earn it a few more years before I buy his jersey.
Well, you do win the league MVP. That gives you a little bit of cred there.
You got to do a little bit more there, I think, though. But anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny because, you know, when the Raiders were doing well in 2016 with Carr, we had a lot of bandwagon fans coming.
Yeah, there were a lot of Derek Carr jerseys sold in 2016.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Now, normally we'd be talking some fantasy football about this time, but I think it's a little.
Hold on. You were going to talk about, because I want to talk about it too. You were going to talk about Tyreek Hill.
Okay, well, let's.
And I don't want to let that go without us finishing this one.
Okay.
Because I want to get your input on this.
Okay, so here's my feeling on Tyreek Hill. I don't think the situation, there's nobody innocent in this situation. It was a bad situation all the way around. The problem is I don't think we have a full clear story. I think there's a lot of he said, she said. Do I think that what you have on audio, that Tyreek Hill said was defensible? No, it's not. And I'm not going to repeat those words. If you're an NFL fan, you have heard these on ESPN and up to 10 times. Am I shocked that he got zero suspension? I am shocked. I figured he was at least looking at a 2-game suspension.
Who is the guy from Seattle that was in a similar situation just from he said, she said, and he was suspended anyway?
He was suspended 6 games. He's a defensive lineman. I looked into that. There's a little more involved with that. There's a little bit stronger evidence against him. It's a little bit more than he said, she said in that one. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. As far as Tyreek Hill concerns, you're done with chances. You have burned up everything. You look at somebody cross-eyed, you're done, Tyreek Hill. The Chiefs he's saying all the right things right now. And you know what? He's had questionable class. From everything I have read, to a lot of part of it takes two. And I'm going to say it right now. It takes two. Even when we look at the Kareem Hunt situation, what Kareem Hunt did last year was despicable and it's indefensible, but there's still more. It still takes more than one person. And this particular woman, Crystal Espinoza, from what I've heard, and this is going from a lot of media sources.
What do you mean by it takes more than one person? Does it take Crystal Espinoza to make Tyreek Hill say and do the things that he did?
No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying in a situation like this, where you have he said, she said, it is two people. And again, I'm not defending Tyreek Hill. But what I'm saying, though, is, there's been a lot of reporters who looked into this, and those two together are a toxic relationship. She can be just as manipulative and turn things as he apparently has been said to have done in the past. So I think one of the things that Kansas City has told him is that you cannot have a relationship with this woman other than the legal relationship because you share children.
You have touched on conspiracies before. So let me bring up a conspiracy here that not just Raider fans are saying, but NFL fans in general, that the NFL has kind of glossed over this because their brand new poster boy, your quarterback, would be losing his number one weapon, and they don't want to bring any more negativity or shadow to this boy.
I don't think it's that, but I do think there is something that is a factor in this because of the fact that there was no criminal charges ever filed in this case. I think that's a big thing. We don't know what the investigation has. There's another issue, and I think this is going to come up if there's another questionable issue with any player this year. The collective bargaining agreement expires this year. And so negotiations are on the table. And we know the issues the NFL Players Association has with how the NFL has handled its power of player punishment. And I think with the bargaining table on that, I think there is a lot of politics in this. I think if this was 2 years ago, Tyreek Hill's looking at an 8-game suspension. I'm going to be honest with you. I think there's politics. I am on a personal level, I'm disappointed that he's not suspended. And unfortunately, I think if the Chiefs had their choice and they could punish him, but according to the collective bargaining agreement, they cannot. I think they would have suspended him for a couple of games on their own merit. But the NFL takes precedent here. And if the NFL does not punish the player, the team cannot choose to punish the player.
Well, there's going to be a lot of stuff on that renegotiations because there's a lot of talk now. Thank you for your feedback on that. I appreciate that. Possibly going to a 17-game schedule instead of the 16, as opposed to not doing the 18 and doing the two byes and having more teams on the international game level and stuff. So there's going to be a lot of stuff on that. The next contracts. I don't think there will be a work stoppage, but there's going to be a lot of stuff on the table for both the NFL and the players committee.
Okay. And I want to ask you about a player your team signed real quick too, Kevin, because I did want to get your thoughts on this. I mean, you haven't talked about it. I want to ask you about Richie Incognito. Because he did get suspended for 2 games. He has a very long history in the NFL.
Yes, he does.
And
yes, he does.
If you're not familiar with the last thing that got him in trouble, it's actually kind of scary. And they've said for a long time that Richie Incognito may not be the most stable of guys. And if you haven't heard this story, he went to his father's funeral showing up with a chainsaw looking to cut his head off right there during the funeral so he could donate his father's brain to science.
He wasn't actually going to do it.
But the fact that he even did that, considering his history, and apparently there was confrontation and physical altercation with police officers. Richie Incognito, again, your Raiders signed him on a basically...
I hadn't heard the chainsaw thing, by the way. I just heard it was all verbal.
No, there was I have read in a couple different sources that he actually did show up with a chainsaw. Ready to?
Yeah, I need to back that up a little bit because I had not heard that, and I've heard a lot. Yeah, so.
But I mean, either way, this is a guy who has a very colored history himself. How do you,
racial slurs too.
Well, the
stuff
whole
like
and
that.
The whole Martin thing from when he was in Miami.
And yeah, it was the hazing thing. Yeah, was that what it was?
The hazing,
or something
too? Extreme bullying. So my question to you is, I mean, I understand we're NFL fans, and sometimes for the success of our team, we kind of put certain things aside that we normally wouldn't. So I wanted to ask you, because I haven't had a chance to ask you, how do you feel about, do you feel the Raiders should still have Incognito on the team at this point? Because you...
Well, they took him knowing that he was possibly going to be suspended. So they knew what was going on. And from what I heard on my end was that, I think they even talked to counselors too about this and stuff. And they were wanting to, because he did a good job on his previous team, they wanted to give him another chance and to see what he was doing. But it was like, it was one of those prove it type deal things. But, you know, he's still one of those people that, you know, just like Vontaze Burfict, you know, there's like, you know, what's going on up in the head and stuff. So I wasn't excited about it, to be honest with you. I wasn't.
Oh, and my feeling is this is a guy who looks like there's some CTE there, maybe, or there's something definitely emotionally wrong.
It's not CTE. It's just there's something else not wired correctly.
And I
that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, so to me, this is a guy who, this is where the NFL should be stepping in a little bit more, in my opinion, and saying, let us get.
There should be professional, people to help when it comes to dealing with emotional and mental issues like that. And it's like, you know, going through, you know, when you have a DUI, you take you go through a class, you know, figure out what you did wrong, you know. There needs to be more of that. That's part of the process. You know, if you're being suspended for something, you know, you should sit down and go through counseling. You should go through that stuff and hopefully find some help. But I don't think that happens. It's just you're suspended.
Yeah.
You
know? So, well, Kevin, as I was about to say before we got onto this conversation, normally we'd be talking some fantasy football, but I think we're a couple of weeks away from really diving in deep to any fantasy football things. But there is one thing I want you to address, and that is, you're doing a little changes in one of your fantasy leagues this year.
Yeah, but before we move forward, I want to first of all congratulate you again for winning our trophy league last year. That's huge. That's hard to do, man, and you did a great job. And not on that, but you also won my other ESPN league as well.
Yep, double champ.
So, and you have the trophy in your hand, and because you won them both, I decided to include both of those in your trophy.
Yeah, I do have to say, if I ever have a home invasion, I can use this trophy as a weapon, because if I throw somebody and hit them in the head, it's going to crack their skull open. This thing weighs a ton.
It's not very big, but it weighs a ton. It's a good paperweight, man. What's interesting is I found that particular trophy. I won 3 fantasy leagues like 7 or 8 years ago, and I found that trophy, and I'm like, that's great. And I've been using that same trophy. Bob's got 2 of those now. but I just love the design, and there's a lot of room to put stuff on there and everything. But I just want to say congratulations. Yes, as for fantasy, our trophy league last year and for the last couple of years, few years, has been on the NFL.com. But man, I got sick and tired of navigating through NFL.com and trying to find useful information. I didn't like the interface. I wasn't the only one that didn't. So we're moving it over to ESPN. So you and I are going to be in 2 leagues in ESPN there. ESPN to me has the best stats, the way that you can organize it for, you know, most popular and trending and all kinds of stuff. ESPN is the best for that. Plus, they get a lot of great updates and a lot of good experts that I like to pay attention to. What do you think? Do you like going to ESPN on this?
I do like going to ESPN. I like their interface. I'm also a fan of the CBS Sports Fantasy Football interface and some of the things they do. But I do want to ask you this, Kevin, because I think this isn't giving any spoilers to any draft planning we're doing or anything like that. Who is the man who is the number one player on your fantasy football board this season? If you had the number one pick in your league, is there a clear cut? This guy is number one.
You probably say Quan Barkley, maybe. I guess
that is where I am leaning. Though recent developments with the New York Giants receiving core have me a little worried, with Golden Tate being suspended for 4 games and Coleman done for the year already with an ACL tear. They're a little thin on wide receivers all of a sudden.
I could see people picking up Patrick Mahomes that early as well. They just want to lock him up.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I love Patrick, and I think if you have a top, if you're anything after the fifth pick, because just how weighted running backs and certain receivers are anymore, but I think without a doubt, Patrick Mahomes or Andrew Luck are probably your top two quarterbacks off of any draft right now. Because I think Andrew Luck.
I don't know, man.
I think Andrew Luck's going to have a huge year.
I'm not buying that yet. I'm not taking him first round. Yeah. Screw that.
Well, let me put it this way: I do think Patrick Mahomes is your only first round quarterback.
Yes, I would agree with that. And then, of course, Kelsey is probably the best tight end to pick up as well. So, one thing I did want to mention after what's been happening trend wise, because you know when they started scheduling. Divisional games on the last game of the season, but then stuff kind of started to happen last year. I am not having any playoffs take place during the 17th and final week. They will all be ending a week early.
Good call. Good call. That was an issue because there's a lot of people who were rested.
Yes. Yeah. So that, and I hate when they do that. So it sucks. And then, yeah. And there was some, There's even some injuries too, I think, that were killing us. And that whole Todd Gurley thing, Jesus,
Yeah, I don't think Todd Gurley will be on my draft board this year. But
yeah,
with that, you know what?
Wait, hold on. We already talked about the contract in Dallas thing.
Yeah,
right?
we did talk about the contract in Dallas. Okay. That's going to be a fun situation. But with that, Kevin and I will probably be back in a couple weeks to talk your fantasy football drafts and start making some picks maybe.
Well, yeah, hold on. What? We're going to be talking some Hard Knocks.
It's going to be the lowest rated Hard Knocks of all time.
Oh, no, it's not. It's going to be glorious, dude. So many people are curious about the Raiders right now, plus the impending move to Vegas.
Wait. Hard Knocks. Dude. Is it really training camp with the Oakland Raiders or is it training camp with John Gruden?
What are you talking about? What does that mean?
It means that, truthfully, I think they're just going to follow John Gruden around the whole time.
Well, of course. I mean,
so again, it's not training camp with the Oakland Raiders. It's training camp with John Gruden.
Yeah, you know they're going to cover all kinds of people in that. But what's going to be interesting though is where the real stories are. Is the rookies? You know that's where things are going to be real interesting. The people are going to be trying to not like the first round high draft ones, but like a lot of the other guys to see what's going to happen there. So
you know, Kevin, the big thing is though, I have one question for you. When are you getting your Nathan Peterman jersey?
Very nice. By the way, speaking of jerseys, I just want to give a shout out to Murph on Raider Fans Radio. You can order stuff through a link on Raider Fans Radio that takes you to NFL.com through Raider Fans Radio, meaning that if you buy anything through that link, you get a little bit of kickback through Raider Fans Radio. And the reason why I wanted to mention this, and this reminded me of something, because they're supporting the Fred Biletnikoff Foundation, which I don't know if you remember who Fred Biletnikoff is, but he had a daughter that passed away due to spousal abuse. And through the Raider Fans Radio link and also selling Raider Fans Radio t-shirts, all the money that they are making, all of it is going to the Fred Biletnikoff Foundation. They're going to have one of those big checks made up. They're trying to get to $2,000 because they're actually going to the special dinner that they're going to have. I think it's in, I want to say October, November. And they're going to be going out to California for that. And they're going to also be going to, I think it's the Lions game as well. But the reason why I bring that up is because I had purchased some stuff through them so money could go through them. But I purchased a jersey, a custom jersey, Raider jersey. And I said to Murph on Raider Fans Radio, it's going to have a soon-to-be Star Wars tie-in and a Predator tie-in.
Uh-oh.
Don't spoil it yet. Nope. If you know what it is, Kyle, don't spoil
it
yet.
It's all yours, my friend. It's Raider stuff.
Do you know what it is? I actually don't know what it is. Okay, I'll tell you off air because I don't want to mention it yet.
But I do have one final question for you because since you brought up Fred Biletnikoff, who I have a lot of respect for, but is it true when you cut him, he still bleeds Stickum?
Yes, he does, and he's very proud of that fact.
Yeah, I kind of thought so. Well, with that, we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Kevin and I got to go take off some of the off-season rust. It's been a while, so we'll be back to talk fantasy football drafts, maybe some early picks and what's been happening in the preseason as we try to round up some new plays to lead us once again into the end zone.